Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Father, we thank you that your word is the word of truth. And we thank you that your spirit is the spirit of truth, who guides us into all the truth of your word and who enables that truth to be expressed in our lives. So we ask, Lord, that you do a work in every heart and in every life this morning that will enable us to walk more fully in the truth of your word, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the third letter of John. That little letter, verses 3 and 4. It gave me great joy when some brothers came and testified that you live in the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. There can be no greater joy for me than to hear of my spiritual children walking in the truth. Last week, Pastor Clive talked about fatherhood and being fathers and making others so they can become fathers and give birth to spiritual children. Really, I'm the father or the grandfather or perhaps even the great-grandfather of this house. And over the years, I've made children who have been making children who are now making children who will make children. And therefore, they will all become fathers in the process. And it's been just over a year now since I withdrew completely from the leadership group, from the eldership and so on of Kingdom Faith. And I've rejoiced in seeing the anointing that's being progressively increasing on Pastor Clive and on the rest of the leadership. And I believe we are at a really strategic time now, that what Pastor Clive was sharing a couple of weeks ago was like a watershed in the whole history of Kingdom Faith. And we are now in a new phase, which he is leading, not I'm leading. I mean, he's been leading the church for these last few years, but, you know, there's always been, I've been sort of there in the leadership group, if you like. But now it's a different ball game. And the significance of that is the revelation of what God is doing is being given to him rather than to me. And the job of the other leaders is to gather around him and support him in that vision, and then for all of us to be right behind the leadership corporately to see the vision fulfilled. Amen. And so all I want to do this morning is to help that process and to talk about walking in the truth, and especially to one aspect of God's nature, which we'll come to later on. The Christian life is a walk. We're talking about disciples making disciples. Well, a disciple is someone who is walking with the Lord. And therefore, he's walking in the truth. We need to understand what that means. We need to know how to do it. And we need to actually do it. Because if we're going to make disciples, what we're saying to them is, come and join me in my walk. And what we say to them as a church is, come and join us in our walk with God. So then they see from our example, not just from what we say, but from our example, what it means to walk with the Lord, what it means to live with him, and all the benefits that come from that. So I'm going to say some very basic things. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for many years, And so some of what I'm going to say will be very familiar to you. But there's others of us that are fairly new to this whole business of living as a Christian, of being a disciple, of walking with the Lord. And God's just laid it upon my heart to say some very simple and basic things to help them, and then we can all sort of move on together from there. There's a little verse in Amos. You might wonder if there's any good things in Amos, because there's a lot of judgment and wrath in Amos, but there are some good things. And one of those things is a simple statement in chapter 3, verse 3, which asks a question: can any walk together unless they are agreed? And you see, what God does is He wants us to agree together to walk in the truth, because that is the essence of unity. Now, it's got to be expressed in love. And really, the ethos, if you like, of Kingdom Faith was established 30 years ago when I was instrumental in beginning Kingdom Faith. It was a ministry and has now become a church that is devoted to walking in the truth, to proclaiming the truth, to seeing people set free by the truth. And the motto of Kingdom Faith has always been, right from the beginning, faith working through love. And faith, you see, has to be faith in the truth. Now, when I was doing the keynote on Tuesday, I referred to an illustration that Watchman Nee used. Watchman Nee has really been my mentor over the years. I benefited so much from his writings. And this illustration is of faith walking along a wall. Now, I want you to imagine that this step is a wall. Of course, that means it would fall down on the other side as well as this side. Okay. Now, a wall is fairly narrow, is it not? And we are all called by Jesus to walk in the narrow way. So it's a good illustration in that sense, because the broad way leads to destruction. Okay, so we're walking in the narrow way. And God, of course, is prepared to supply all the grace to enable us to do that. Now, in this illustration, the person is called Faith, and truth is walking ahead of him. Now, truth, of course, is Jesus. He says, "I am the truth." Truth is not a series of concepts. Truth is Jesus. So his word is the word of truth. His spirit is the spirit of truth, because he is the truth. So faith has his eyes fixed on the truth and walks along this wall. Now he is being followed by facts and experience. Now, this is the first thing we need to understand. Facts are not the truth. And the way that so many Christians get confused is they take facts to be the truth. Now, there's a big difference between facts and truth. Facts can change, the truth can never change. Jesus will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God will never change. It is eternal. The Spirit of God will never change, because He is God. And by definition, God never changes. So the truth never changes. Facts can change. Let me give you an example. Suppose somebody is diagnosed with cancer or a serious condition of some kind. That is not the truth about that person. It's a fact. But the fact can be changed. We heard a testimony from Warren a couple of weeks ago about how the facts in his body were changed by the truth. Now, you know, there may be some medical help along the way when that happens, but the point is that facts can change, but the truth can't. And so we often, when something happens to us, we tend to think that's the truth. And it's not the truth. It's a fact. And therefore, it becomes part of our experience. And we tend to think our experience is the truth. But we can experience things that are false, as well as things that are true. You have an encounter with God, and you've had an encounter with the truth. You read the Word, and you're reading the truth. The Spirit of God speaks to you, and you're having revelation from the truth. But there's a lot of experience, especially out there in the world, that is not the truth. And experience is the most unreliable thing, because our experiences can change as our feelings can change so readily according to the circumstances, whereas the truth never changes. So in this illustration, faith has his eyes on the truth. But if you're walking along the wall, a wall, and you all love to do that as kids, you have to keep your eyes ahead of you. If you turn round and look at facts and experience, you don't know where you're walking, and you will wobble, and if you keep looking back, you will fall off the wall. Now, the devil is opposed to the truth. So what does the devil do? Look at the facts. Look back, because he knows you'll wobble. Look at your experience. The more you look at your experience, the more likely you are to fall off the wall. Now, praise God, we can get restored and get back on the wall, but who knows, it's better to stay on the wall and not fall off the wall, because you can get hurt when you fall off the wall. And then you feel hurt, and then you feel that you need to be healed and restored and all the rest of it. And you cannot walk along a wall backwards, because your focus is on the facts, because your focus is on your experience. You've got to keep your eyes ahead of you on the truth. Is this too deep? No, right, okay. So that means we are going to be walking in the revelation of God's Word. We don't accept the things that happen to us. They're real. Facts are real. We don't deny that the facts exist. We just know that they're not the final word. Jesus always has the final word. The truth always has the final word. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances. It's Jesus that is able to deal with the circumstances, to change the circumstances, to enable us to be victorious over the circumstances. But we've got to be able to walk on the wall for that to happen. Okay. Now, how do we walk? Well, first of all, we've got to use our senses. We've got to be able to see. Now, what does the Scripture say? The Word of God is a lamp for our feet. So if our eyes are on Jesus, and the Scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, you can only have this faith walk by keeping your eyes on Jesus. So if your eyes are on Jesus, your eyes are going to be on His Word. And His Word will be a lamp to your feet. He will show you where to put the next step and the next step and the next step. You may not have any great idea of where the wall is going to lead you. It's even longer than the Great Wall of China, this wall. And you know, it goes on and on and on into eternity, as we'll see in a moment. But if we walk on this wall now, we can be sure of the eternal outcome. So we need to use our eyes to see. Therefore, the Word will become a lamp to our feet, and we'll know where to walk. Because, you see, the Word will show us what is facts and what is truth. The Word will show us, well, that's just how you feel, but it's got nothing to do with the truth. And once you start to believe the truth, your feelings change. Are you breathing? Okay. Then you've got to use your hearing, because you want to be able to hear what God is saying. Jesus promises that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all the truth and will remind us of everything that He said, everything that He's done. So we keep our ears open, not just when we're reading the Word, but when others are preaching the Word, when others are teaching us. We keep our ears open to what the Spirit of God is saying when we pray. We pray at all times in the Spirit, because He is the Spirit of truth, and He is absolutely devoted to enabling us to walk on this wall. He actually lives within us, not only to show us how to do that, but to actually enable the walking. Now, here is a very strange truth. When you walk along this wall, you walk on your tongue. Yeah, you've got to use your eyes, you've got to use your ears, but you have to use your tongue. And what the Scripture says, you see, is that the whole course of your life, this is James, the whole course of your life is dictated by what you say. Because your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It steers the course of the ship. So, if you're going to walk on this wall, you've got to speak the truth. So you're reading the truth, your eyes are on the truth, you're listening to the truth, you're speaking the truth. You're speaking the truth over your life, the truth of what God says about you, not what the facts say, but what God says. Not what your experience is, but what God says. Not how you feel, but what God says. Are you there? Okay, so if together with others you are using your eyes, your ears, and your mouth to speak the truth, you will walk in unity with them. Now, we here at Kingdom Faith are devoted to walking in the truth. There will never, ever be in this church, and I'm confident even after I've gone to glory, there will never, ever be in this church any compromising the truth. Amen. Now, that's good, because you can't have revival without the truth. If you compromise the truth, you say goodbye to revival. Now, this has implications, because it means that anybody that is not walking in the truth cannot walk with us.
Yes, that's true.
You see, the only people that can walk with us are those that want to walk in the truth. Yes. Now, anything that is not the truth is deception. Down here, not where you are, but just here, is deception. Right? Now, if somebody is walking in deception, they can't walk with us in the truth.
That's right.
And sadly, you know, some people walk in the truth and then become deceived. There are many warnings in the New Testament about that. When you get my next publication, when it comes out at Faith Camp, you'll see there's a whole section of warnings from God. And several of those warnings are all in the area of deception. Now, you see, as soon as you look at the facts, you're likely to be deceived. As soon as you start to believe your experience, you'll get deceived. Why? Because you've taken your eyes off the truth. You're no longer listening to the truth, you're listening to the facts. You're listening to your experience. Hello? And therefore, you will no longer speak the truth, you will speak how you feel, how difficult it is, oh, you poor you, all the circumstances, oh, nobody understands, all this kind of stuff. Whereas when you've got your eyes on the truth, you know God is with you, you know God understands, you know God is leading you. Because He is the good shepherd who goes ahead of you. You hear His voice and follow Him. But those who are in deception cannot walk with the truth. So what happens if somebody is walking in the truth and they get deceived? They stop walking with you. Now, when we see that happening to people, we in the leadership here warn them. We talk to them and just warn them. Now, sometimes people take heed of the warning and they get back into the truth. Sometimes they refuse to listen because if you're deceived, you think you're right when you're not. And so what do? They leave. And of course, when they leave, if they're leaving in deception, they're going to say all kinds of things against Kingdom Faith, against the truth, all kinds of accusing things, and because now they're in deception, not in the truth. Can you see that? Now, it's not a question of judging them, as you'll see in a moment. It's a question of really being very concerned for them. Why? Because we want to reach the world with the gospel. But you see, everybody in the world that is not saved is living in deception. The God of this age has blinded their minds to the truth. Yes? And if you walk in deception, you walk actually under the influence of the accuser. And so those who are deceived begin to accuse. And actually the strange thing is, or the sad thing is, they begin to accuse those that are walking in the truth. And what they might do is they might say, look at the facts. But no. The people that are walking in the truth are looking at the truth, not at the facts. Are you understanding me?
Yes.
Okay, now, here is a crucial thing. We are told, we are given this new command by Jesus to go to the new covenant of which we're a part, sealed with his blood. You are to love one another as I have loved you. Now, clearly, if we love one another, then we will walk in unity. But the only way we can walk in unity is by walking in the truth. Now, how does God express his love? First of all, through his mercy. Now let's talk about the mercy of God for a moment. Because we can only live as disciples if we live in his mercy. And we can only make disciples if we're reaching other people with the mercy of God. Now I had a very unusual encounter with the Lord these last few days concerning the mercy of God. And I'm just going to share this with you because in a very simple way, I think it explains so much about God and about his mercy. I'm going through the Psalms in my devotional times at present. I do that about once a year because they're such a wonderful resource of truth and so encouraging and so on. But I'm also actually translating the Psalms for the Truth Bible at this moment. Don't get too excited, but that's there's a lot of work to do in that. But I'm actually thoroughly enjoying it. I've been sort of holding back with some trepidation to beginning this, but I've got stuck into it this last few days, and it's wonderful to be translating the Psalms. But anyway, I was praying through, because when I have my quiet time, you know, and I'm listening to the Lord, I'm not just listening, oh, what are you saying, God? But I'm reading the Word and seeing what he says to me through the Word, so that you keep what you're hearing based on the truth. It's all coming out of the truth, and you're not going to get into some flights of fancy of your own. Anyway, I was in this psalm that is all talking about the Lord being enthroned on high and so on. And as I was praying, God said to me, Colin, I have prepared an apostolic throne for you in heaven. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And I just went on writing. You see, I didn't think anything more about it because it was just part of a whole series of things that God was saying. So I didn't think any more about it at the time. But what I do every few days is I go back over what the Lord has been saying, and I write down the really significant things, the pithy things, you know, the things you want to remember, in another book, which I keep. The other book I will discard in due course. But this one I'll keep because this contains new revelation or things that are so significant. And so I came to this statement that was written down, and I started praying, because when I go through this thing, I sort of pray over these things a bit more. And I was saying, Lord, that seems just so way out. I mean, I'm just not worthy of having a throne in heaven. And immediately, God gave me this vision. It was an immediate thing. Now, a vision is different from a picture that you get when you're praying. A vision is like a movie. You see things happen. And very often you see things happening around you because God is wanting to teach you something. And this was a vision of heaven. Now, I'm not trying to say heaven is like this. God was just using this to teach me something. And what I saw were all these thrones. Now, there were the thrones, they were a vast number. I mean, I don't know how many, but it's like a spacious place, but it was just full of thrones. Thrones, not in the sense of, you know, you weren't conscious of seats and things like that, but all these people are reigning. These are the ones who are reigning with God in glory. We know around the throne of God there are the thrones on which the elders and the apostles sit. But you know, there were many, many more, vast number of these thrones. And I was somehow sort of there in the middle of this lot. And I just saw myself go up to various people. It was like the Spirit of God was leading me. And the first one I came to was Peter. And Peter said, said to me, well, I think I said to him, I just don't feel worthy of having a throne here. And Peter said to me, what's the worst thing you've ever done? Now, heaven isn't really like this because these things won't exist in heaven. So I told him, I don't know, two or three things that I thought were probably the worst things I'd ever done. And he laughed. He just laughed at me. And he said, listen, I denied Jesus 3 times publicly. I even dared to argue to his face and rebuke him, which is much worse than anything you have ever done. And I'm here with my throne because I'm here because of God's mercy. So then I went along and came to Paul. And Paul, I think you must have heard what I said to Peter, because this is heaven, you know, everybody probably hears everything. Anyway, he laughed. And he said, listen, I persecuted the church. I imprisoned Christians. I consented to them being murdered. That's much worse than anything you ever did. And I'm here with my throne because I'm here by the mercy of God. And then I came to Thomas. And Thomas said to me, listen, I even denied that Jesus had risen from the dead. You have never done anything like that. That is so serious, to deny the resurrection when Jesus had promised it. But here I am. Despite all the doubts that I had, I have this throne because I'm here by the mercy of God. So then I came to David. And David laughed at me in a nice way. And David said, listen, I committed adultery. I murdered someone. And I'm here with my throne by the mercy of God.
You haven't done anything remotely like that. And then I came to Moses. And Moses said, I killed a man. You've never done that. And Moses said, I disobeyed what the Lord told me to do, so he wouldn't let me enter into the promised land. So serious did he regard that disobedience. You've never done anything like that. But I'm here on my throne because of the mercy of God. And then I came to Abraham. There were a few others on the way, but I'm abbreviating it a bit. I came to Abraham. All this was just happening one after another. Boom, 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 you know. Came to Abraham. Abraham said, listen. It's interesting. They all started with this. Listen. Listen. I had a child by my wife's servant girl. You've never done that. My wife doesn't have a servant girl, praise God. I even passed my wife off as my sister because I didn't want to have any hassle. You've never done anything remotely like that, but here I am with my throne. Because I'm here by the mercy of God. And then this vision ended. There were all these hundreds, thousands of people all with their thrones. And they all shouted to me together. They said, Colin, we are all here by the mercy of God. Now, what does Jesus say to disciples who he calls to walk in the truth? I have gone ahead of you to prepare a place for you. You have your throne, you have your place in the rule, in the reign, in the eternal kingdom of God. Don't get too excited, it's Sunday. But how will you ever get there? Through mercy. Because it's by mercy, once you were living in deception, once you were living in darkness, once you didn't know the Lord, and by his mercy, he lifted you, the scripture says, out of the mire. And he placed your feet on solid ground, on the rock. And then the scripture says in Psalm 18, that on this narrow way, he broadens the path beneath your feet so that you do not twist your ankle. Psalm 18. So, you see, it's a narrow way, but he broadens it as you keep your eyes on the truth. Now, beloved, what is God calling us to at this moment? He's calling us to live and to walk in his mercy. Now, just bear with me a minute. I'll tell you why. He is ahead of us. What is behind us? Oh, yes, I know there's those two characters, facts and experience. But what is immediately behind you? Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And, of course, the scripture says, his mercies are new every morning. Every day is a walk in his mercy. Every day you are followed by his goodness and mercy. Why? Because the first way in which he expresses his love is through his mercy. And listen, he has been so merciful to you, he says you have to be merciful to others. Because if you're not merciful to others, you actually get into deception immediately. And because God, therefore, no longer will be merciful to you, and you have to then be merciful to those with whom you've withheld your mercy so that you can get back on the way with the Lord and walk again in mercy. Are you with me? Now, Jesus made this very, very clear, didn't he? When he talked about the narrow way in the Sermon on the Mount, when he taught the disciples and the other people to pray, he was saying, you must forgive those who sin against you or your Father won't forgive you. But if you are merciful, then he will be merciful to you. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. It's all his mercy. Now, if he has loved us by being merciful to us, and we are to love one another in the same way that he's loved us, then we're merciful. Amen. We are a merciful people. Now, that doesn't make you soft. It makes you strong. It makes you strong, but it makes you loving. And what we've got to do to fulfill the Great Commission is to reach others with his mercy. But you can only reach them with his mercy if you're living in that yourself. What does the devil want to do? The devil wants to cause division. The devil wants to try to stop people agreeing together and therefore walking together. So what does he do? He tries to get them looking at facts, looking at experience, looking at one another in a negative way, in a critical way, judging one another, accusing one another, holding on to hurts. Love keeps no record of wrong. See, all that is behind you. No longer exists as far as God is concerned. All there is here is a new future as God's people walk together in the truth, in the mercy, in the love, in the grace of God. Now, we are in the rescuing business. Because there's all these people living in darkness, living in deception, not even realizing that that is what's wrong with their lives. And we want to introduce them to Jesus. But you see, the only way to do that, the only way for them to ever get born again is to experience the mercy of God. So the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin, not to make them feel bad, but to show them that they need to be forgiven so that all their guilt can be removed. And that's the wonderful thing about forgiveness. All the guilt is removed. God puts his sin behind your back. God will no longer look upon you. It doesn't exist anymore. You know, if somebody accuses you about something in the past, they're talking about what doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. But, I mean, Jesus dealt with that. It's no longer, it just doesn't exist. All that exists now is what lies ahead of you. So Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I'm reaching out for that which lies ahead. I want to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So it's a very simple message, really, isn't it? But if you are going to be effective in reaching others with the mercy of God, that can only be because you're living in the revelation of his mercy every day. Every morning, you thank God for his mercy. Every day, you thank him that mercy and goodness are following you all the days of your life. And what is he going to take you into? He's going to take you into his eternal glory, where you will have your throne and your place that he assigns you. And you will be there, not because of what you have done, but because of his mercy. By his mercy, he's called and chosen us. One last thing. He has had mercy on you. Now that's much more than forgiving your sins. The forgiveness of your sins is part of that mercy. But do you remember when some people came to Jesus because they needed healing, they needed deliverance of some kind? They would say, "Have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy upon me." He didn't say, "Have mercy upon my blindness." He didn't actually say, "Heal my blindness." He said, "Have mercy upon me." And then Jesus said, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "I want my sight back." He understood that that was a work of God's mercy. And that's the revelation, you see, that God wants us to understand that everything He does in our lives will be a work of His mercy that He does through His grace. Mercy is receiving from God what you could never deserve. It's actually God treating you the very opposite of the way you deserve. And grace is what He gives you as a result of His mercy. So here is this wonderful revelation that God will have mercy on you. You need healing? Have mercy on me, Lord. Now, we're going to pray. And what God has shown me this morning is that there are a number of people here who need to say to God, "Have mercy upon me." Now, it may be that you don't know the Lord yet. And you're down here somewhere in the deception and darkness, and you say, "I need to get up there. I need to walk with the Lord. I need the truth. I need to be taken out of where I am and walk where I need to be." Only Jesus can lift you up from this place to that place. No man can do it. Only Jesus can do that. But when he does it, as soon as you say, "Lord, have mercy on me." So there are some that are probably in that position. There are some of you that need a fresh revelation of God's mercy because you need forgiveness in some way, or more particularly, you need to forgive. That although God in the past has shown Himself so merciful to you, you've got hard in your heart, bitter in your attitudes. You've been looking at circumstances. You've been looking back, feelings, experience, facts. And you've got your eyes off the truth. And you need to say to the Lord this morning, "Have mercy on me. I'm coming back to the truth. I'm going to walk in the truth with you." May be that you've let things come in that have divided and separated you from someone. Not necessarily physically, but in your heart, in your spirit. Can any two walk together unless they're agreed? And you need to come back into agreement. And it's not coming back into agreement with the person. It's that it's coming back into agreement with the truth. Then all who are walking in the truth will be one and will agree with one another. You know, if any of you have ever done any marriage counseling, you listen to one partner and if you've got any sense, you listen to what they say, but you don't believe everything they say. Because you know that when you listen to the other one, you're going to get an entirely different perception of the same marriage. Yeah. And here you've got two completely different scenarios. Where is the truth? Well, the truth is in neither. The truth is in Jesus. Amen. And what needs to happen is to people to find a unity in Him, because, you know, just bashing heads isn't going to accomplish very much. So here we have another scenario that some of us just need to get back on course. It's not that we've got right away from the truth, but you see, what happens sometimes is we come under pressure, we come under real oppression from the enemy, and we're walking like this. We've got one leg on the truth, but there's another, you know, there's another part of us that's struggling. We're struggling because both our feet aren't on the truth. We're struggling because we're looking back And we can just about do that so long as we don't have to keep on the narrow way, but we've got one foot on this other way. And we think we're doing all right. We're wondering, oh God, it's so hard! And he says, well, get your eyes on the truth, then it won't be. You know, we rail at him and we say, oh God, it's so difficult and I feel this. And he said, well, come on, get in the truth, then you'll be all right, won't you? So some of you need to get right back in the truth. Others of you, well, you heard some great healing words earlier in the meeting. But you need to appropriate what God is saying. And you need to say, Lord, have mercy on me. So it may be that you need to know the Lord. It may be that you need to be restored in some area of truth. Maybe there's some relationship thing that needs to be put right. Maybe that you need healing. But whatever, it all comes under this same umbrella. Have mercy on me. You see, beloved, you cannot walk in the truth unless you walk in mercy. Have we got that? Let's all stand. Now, nobody's going to judge anybody else because we're all walking in the truth here. But I just want anybody that comes into any of those categories, God is just speaking to you. I just want you to come and stand in the front here just to make a statement. Nobody's going to ask you, why did you go forward or anything like that? This is just what God is working with you. But just come out of your place and stand in the front here, whether you want to know the Lord, whether there's an area you need to get right, whether it's a relationship issue, whether it's a healing, whatever it is. You just recognize you need a fresh revelation of God's mercy. Just come and stand out the front. If any of you feel you haven't really had both feet walking in the truth, you know, you've been looking back on experience, on facts. It's amazing how when you do that, immediately you feel at odds with those who are walking in the truth. You know, I've seen people, when they've got into deception, they want to avoid me. They don't want to be anywhere near me. They don't want to listen to me preach. They don't want to listen to anything I say. Why? Because they're no longer walking in the truth. I understand what is happening, and I just know that God will restore them to the truth. So that's something He has to do. I can't do it. Okay, just close your eyes, whether you're here or whether you're there, out in the... Now just thank the Lord for His mercy. He demonstrated that mercy in dying for you, in shedding His blood for you. So He's already been merciful to you, or you wouldn't be here this morning. So you can thank Him for that mercy. And that mercy is an expression of His love. Out of His love comes His mercy. There's words in Hebrew that can be translated either love or mercy. They're both true. You can look in some translations, say His love endures forever. You look in another translation, and for the same verse it says His mercy endures forever. And you say, well, which is right? Well, they're both right, because they're both translating the same word. You can only walk in his love if you walk in mercy. Another way of translating it is the loving kindness of God. So just thank him for his loving kindness, whether you're in the front or still in your chair. Just thank him for his loving kindness. Thank him that he has called and chosen you in love and has shown you his mercy. Thank him that he's forgiven all your sins. Now, if God could restore Peter and Paul and Thomas and David and Moses and Abraham and many, many others who've done things a lot worse than you did, than you've done, then he can surely restore you. Hallelujah. He is the Lord who restores your soul. So just thank him now that he's restoring you this morning. He's restoring you to the truth. You're getting your eyes off of yourself, off of your feelings, off of your experience, off of the facts, and back on the truth. And thank him that his truth endures forever. His truth never changes. His word is flawless, it says. Never, never, ever will God need to revoke anything that he said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Because they're the words of truth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, but there will not be a new truth. What you will see in the new heaven and the new earth is the truth being expressed perfectly. Hallelujah. So we give you glory, Lord. We thank you. So just know that he's reading your heart, you see. If he sees, oh Lord, forgive me for you've been so merciful to me, but I haven't shown your mercy to others. Well, he's ready to forgive you right now and to restore you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you've never known Jesus, you might not know how to pray. Well, all you've got to do this morning is just say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Just say that to him. Just say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Forgive me for all the sin in my life, everything that has displeased you. And forgive me for all the harm and hurt that I've caused to others. And if you need healing, just pray, Lord, have mercy on me. And if God spoke to you earlier when Clive was bringing those words of healing, then just appropriate those right now. Say, Lord, I take that word now. Because I realize that my healing is nothing I could ever deserve, nothing I could earn, but it's a work of your mercy. That you haven't simply wanted to heal a disease, but you've wanted to have mercy on me as the person that I am. So, Lord, I thank you for the fresh revelation of your mercy this morning. And I believe, Lord, that as a result of your mercy, I receive your healing. And you will be merciful to me every day. The mercy will be new every morning, and I will be able to walk in your healing grace every day. And mercy and goodness will follow me. and you will do everything that is good in my life. You will do me good every day because, Lord, I will be walking in the truth of your word. Now, this is for all of us, those in front and those in their places. Are you ready? We're going to pray now that we will reach others with his mercy. And this is why it's so important to be part of this discipleship academy. Because we need to learn how to express that mercy, how to take the mercy of God into the lives of other people. So, Father, we thank you that you are going to give to every one of us in this room, everyone, those in front, those in their places, everyone, spiritual children. You're going to make us parents of spiritual children. You're going to give us those to whom we have taken your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to make disciples, not just make children, but make those children into disciples, because we're going to show them how they can walk in the truth, walk in your mercy, walk in your love, and in your grace every day of their lives. And we praise you, Lord. Now just lift your hands and begin to thank the Lord. Just thank him. Hallelujah. He has been so merciful to you that you're going to overflow with mercy. If you know, just pray, Lord, just go on giving me fresh revelation of your mercy day by day so that I never become hardened in my heart, so I never become hardened in my attitude towards others, but I just overflow with your love. I overflow with your mercy. I overflow with grace. I don't want to be like the unmerciful servant. Lord, you showed him such great mercy, but he refused to be merciful to others and got cast out into the place of wailing and grinding of teeth. I don't want to follow that example. But Lord, I want that heart that is full of mercy, full of your loving kindness, full of your love, tender-hearted like you are tender-hearted, yet strong in my determination to keep walking in the truth. And I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you praise. Parasatari alero bakarasita. Basatari alero bakarasita di sandim. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him a great big thank you. You can go back to your places.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.